Hello, and thank you for listening to episode 210 of Got Creeps, your favorite podcast that always makes sure to give you your weekly dose of the weird, mysterious, and creepy. We are your hosts. I'm John.
And I'm Leilani.
And today we are going to be talking about Elisa Lam. I don't know how many of you are familiar, but if you're not, you're in for a wild ride. No pun intended. But before that, if you want to hear your stories over on our podcast, our show, make sure you send your stories over to us at Got Creeps on Instagram. We have a Facebook page just for Got Creeps. You can find us over there. You can find us on X at Got Creeps and send it over to yougotcreeps@gmail.com. And without further ado, let's get into it.
Yes.
Elisa Lam, a 21-year-old college student from Canada, embarked on a solo adventure to explore the vibrant streets of California. After spending a few days soaking up the sun in San Diego, she arrived in the bustling heart of Los Angeles, eager to experience all the city had to offer. Staying at the infamous Cecil Hotel, Elisa found herself immersed in a place with a dark and troubled past. Built in 1924 with grandeur and luxury in mind, the Cecil Hotel boasted 700 rooms, a lavish spectacle in a city reeling from the Great Depression. But as the years passed, the hotel fell into disrepair, becoming a haven for those seeking the cheapest accommodations in one of the poorest areas in the city, Skid Row. Despite its grand facade, the Cecil Hotel harbored a multitude of security and safety issues, attracting a diverse array of guests, including criminals and those seeking refuge from the harsh realities of Skid Row. Over the years, the hotel had been a magnet for police activity, reports of arson, violence, and even death haunting its corridors. It was within this labyrinth of shadows that Elisa's journey took a chilling turn. After failing to contact her family for several days, a departure from her usual routine of daily calls, a sense of unease began to settle over her loved ones. Concerned for her well-being, they contacted the LAPD, sparking a frantic search for the missing young woman. As detectives descended upon the Cecil Hotel, their suspicions grew with each passing moment. Elisa had been staying in a bunked room, part of the hotel's communal living arrangements, and yet her disappearance coincided with her scheduled checkout date of February 1st. Yet when the police arrived to investigate, her belongings had already been removed by hotel staff. A baffling breach of protocol. What they uncovered painted a picture of a carefree tourist open to meeting strangers and exploring the city's hidden gems. But as they delved deeper, their focus shifted back to the Cecil Hotel, a looming presence in Elisa's final moments. It was the hotel security footage that provided the most chilling clues. After hours of painstaking review, detectives spotted Elisa's haunting image in the confines of an elevator, her behavior erratic and inexplicable. Yet despite their efforts, the footage offered more questions than answers, leading investigators grasping at straws in their search for the truth. And then, a shocking discovery rocked the city to its core. High atop the Cecil Hotel, hidden from view, Elisa's lifeless body was found in a water tower, a grim conclusion to a mystery that had captivated the world. With the top latch closed and no signs of foul play, the circumstances surrounding her death remained shrouded in uncertainty. Some speculated that Elisa had fallen victim to sinister forces that lurked within the walls of the Cecil Hotel, while others whispered of supernatural influences beyond comprehension. But for those left behind, haunted by the memory of a vibrant young woman lost too soon, the truth may never be known. And so, the enigma of Elisa Lam and the Cecil Hotel remains a chilling reminder of the darkness that lurks beneath the surface of the City of Angels. I mean, you and I were familiar with this story, but for a lot of people who don't know, what do you think would be kind of like the most interesting aspect to look at? Would you think that like somebody within the hotel had something to do and like killed her and
yeah.
Or do you think it's like more of like the supernatural aspect?
Well, obviously when it's going out, like the media, and they're talking about how, well, one, she's in the Cecil Hotel on Skid Row. She's staying in one of the communal living arrangements. Mm-hmm. And then she goes missing. She fails to check out on February 1st, like she's supposed to. She goes missing and all of her stuff is gone before investigators are able to check her place.
Right.
Yeah, I'm 100% thinking that somebody in the hotel killed her. Like, that is what you would think without more information.
Right. Right. Okay,
with,
cool.
And, I mean, with all of that information stacked up on top of each other, yeah, like, that's the conclusion that you would have came to if the investigators didn't look further into hotel security.
Right.
But they did.
And what they found was crazy.
And what they found is not what you're thinking.
Right.
Unless you know.
So what do you think is most likely to have happened? Do you personally think that it was a person that committed a murder? Or do you think it was something supernatural and weird?
Knowing what I already know?
Yes. Like, you knowing, like, all the facts, everything, because you, like I said, you and I are already familiar with the whole Elisa Lam case and everything.
Absolutely. 104% supernatural.
Yeah. I agree.
But what doesn't make sense is where she was found, like, in the water tower, even knowing what we know.
Right. Well, I mean, it could be,
let's just get into it.
Part of the supernatural aspect.
Yeah.
I mean, like, so I guess first, there was really no other guy. There was no bad guy.
Okay.
Like, accused. There was nobody that was accused.
There was no defendant. There was no,
I don't know. So, like, there was nobody that was, like, actually accused of a murder. It all, like, the true crime part of this, like, was all kind of weird and muddy to me. That's why, like, I don't 100%, like, believe in the whole, like, true crime explanation of it, which is that somebody murdered her and then stuffed her body inside of the water tower.
Not like How to Get Away with Murder.
Right.
Because, season one.
Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, there was no evidence, really, that could convince me otherwise that, like, something normal happened here.
Right, and even with going through all of the hotel footage, you never see somebody dragging a body up onto the roof either.
Right.
And they're going through hours, because you did say, like, painstaking hours of footage that, right, they're going through. And I'm sure that's one of the first things they would have looked for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, exactly my point. Like, they have minimal security, right? I mean, because this place is not known for having the best security and whatnot. But, like, they do have cameras.
Yeah.
Like, they're could not have been a possible way, unless, like, this was planned out, which it doesn't seem like it was planned out.
Yeah.
It seems like a crime of passion type of thing.
Right.
If it was to be an actual, you know, crime.
It's not like Only Murders in the Building where they're going through, like, tunnels.
Right. It's, like I said, it couldn't have been something planned. It doesn't seem that way to me.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. It just doesn't add up. So, I mean, like, I don't want to get too much into that because, like I said, I don't, like, 100% believe that that's the case. I definitely think that something supernatural happened here.
Right.
So, if you're not familiar, there is something called the elevator game. I'm not too sure where it, like, originated from. There is something called the elevator game, and kind of, like, the end goal of this game is to, like, get to some sort of other dimension, other world. That's pretty much it. So, like, I guess we can just go over the rules real quick of like how to play the elevator game. And we are not saying go play the elevator game.
We are not saying that.
But if you do and have video footage and it happens to get sent to us, we're probably going to look at it.
But we're not telling you.
But we're not telling you to do it.
We're just saying if you happen to do it and do it successfully enough for us to see the result of it.
Even if you're not successful, like I think after this, I'm just going to go on YouTube and search for like elevator game videos. So, I mean, like if it just so happens to pop up on my like For You page on TikTok or something, you know, I wouldn't be upset about that. If they so somehow like tagged us in it in like a mention or something, like I'm not telling you to do anything.
We're not telling you to do it, but also let's just get into what it is so that the people who are maybe not going to possibly do it, they know what to not do.
So what you need to not do is find a building with at least 10 floors. You have to be alone and make sure nobody else joins you in the elevator. Otherwise, you have to start over from the first step. So you walk in, you press the button to go to the fourth floor, and then it'll open the doors. Don't get out. And then go to the second floor, the sixth floor, the second floor, the 10th floor. And then, like I said, don't get out on any of these floors. And then you're going to go to the fifth floor. On the fifth floor, there's going to be a young woman, and she's going to come into the elevator with you. You're not supposed to speak to her. Don't look at her. She might look familiar to you. She might sound familiar to her to you. Don't look at her. Don't speak to her. Don't do anything. Don't interact with her in any way.
As you would normally do with somebody coming into an elevator.
Right. You just keep your head down and you just look at your phone, whatever. You know, and then you press the first floor, and then if you press the first floor, but the elevator goes to the 10th floor, remain on the elevator. You're still in the game. If you press the first floor, but the elevator goes to the first floor, then exit the moment the doors open. Do not speak or look back. Just leave. Once you, just leave. Just get the fuck out of there. If you do reach the 10th floor, you can either choose to stay or get off. If you choose to get off, the woman from step 4... Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you choose to get off, the woman from step 4 may ask you a question and even call your name. Like I said, don't answer her, don't acknowledge her in any way. Just ignore her completely. So now you have actually reached the other world. To know you're there for sure, the sign is that you're the only one there. So I guess you can kind of like explore this world or whatever.
It's like an open world game.
It's like an open world game, which kind of leads into something that I do want to talk about into the future. It's a weird way to put it, but whatever. Is kind of like maybe she got into the back rooms and then like no-clipped into the water tower. Is what I'm thinking. I'm not thinking like ghosty stuff. I'm thinking she like no clipped out of reality and like somehow ended up into the back rooms and then no clipped back into reality.
Face down in the water tower?
I mean, face up, face down, you're stuck in a water tower. You can't get out. You're gonna die.
Well, I think you are able to open a water tower from
inside. No. Because remember, they looked around the inside. There was no way for her to, like, unlatch the water tower. And it was locked from the outside. Mm. So, that's what I think. That's what I think happens. I think that, like, the other world isn't necessarily, like, another dimension, like, an upside down kind of a thing. The other world is, like, the back rooms.
Okay.
But, yeah. You know, if you do this,
don't end up like Elisa Lam, is basically.
Yeah.
I've heard about the elevator game. quite a few times. Mm-hmm. And from what we know about Elisa Lam and the elevator game, like, she had been actively researching it before.
Right.
Like, she was, from the story, big on social media. She had, like, a blog, right? Like, a traveler's blog.
Yeah, and she was big on, like, internet forums and things like that, too.
So she came across the elevator game. I don't know if, and I don't know if you know, but I don't know if the reason she went to the Cecil Hotel was strictly to play the game.
No.
Or if she just decided to play the game while she was staying there.
I believe she just decided to play the game while she was staying there, because I think that she had just ultimately decided to stay at the Cecil Hotel because mm-hmm. it was cheap.
Right. And she's a 21-year-old by herself, broke college student.
In Canada, who doesn't know any better.
Like, yeah, she's literally like, just traveling.
Oh, a super traveling. Cheap hotel in LA? Like, yeah, I'll stay there. It was probably like $5 a night.
Probably. They probably paid her to be there.
Right. So, like, she really just fell into this trap of just like, oh, wrong place, wrong time. Somehow something is in the Cecil Hotel that, like, maybe allows it to break down barriers between different realities and stuff. I think that that's an interesting theory.
Right, because when you said, like, okay, so if you were to have done the elevator game correctly, but it says part one of the steps is, if you press to go to the first floor, but the elevator does go to the first floor, then exit the moment the doors are open and do not just leave. Like, do not speak or talk to anybody. Just go and leave. So you could be playing the game correctly, but it's still just going to bring you back to reality, so to speak.
Right.
Or not even so to speak, because it is reality. Like, you are coming back to, you're not, you didn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You just went up and down an elevator. But if it does go to the 10th floor instead of going to the first floor like you picked,
mm-hmm.
then you have successfully done the game. So I feel like there is something in the Cecil Hotel that allows the game to be played.
Right.
In the way that it's supposed to be played, I guess.
Right. Yeah. I agree. I mean, like, it could be, like, on top of, like, the whole ley lines thing. Mm-hmm. I don't really know too much about, like, why those work and everything. But I know that that's a thing. So it could be, like, in that whole area, you know? There could be, like, a bunch of different things. It could be, like, the amount of death and, like, bad energy that's built up in this place. Like,
imagine doing the elevator game, not saying you should, but doing it at the Luxor Hotel.
Yeah, that would be crazy.
If
tons of people died in the building of the Luxor Hotel.
And in the building of the Luxor Hotel. In the building of it and in the building of it.
Yeah.
So if you guys have...
Probably still underneath the building of it.
If you guys have seen season one, at least part of season one, or at least seen this episode of season one...
Which you can't anymore.
We talked about the Luxor Hotel. And that's like I said, we're not telling you to play the game, but if you were to play the game and you're in Las Vegas, Nevada, and you are somehow in the Luxor Hotel, maybe try it. Or maybe don't. But we're not saying that. It's a concept.
I mean, like I said, so you could have so many, like, built-up negative energy mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff that's there. It's crazy. There's a lot of things that could be the case.
You said you don't know where the elevator game originated from?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, 4, 4, 2, 6, 2, 10. Those are, like, specific numbers. So those have to be, like, I don't know, specific numbers to where the game originated from.
Maybe.
Possibly.
Maybe.
Because, I mean, isn't it 4 is, like, the number of death
Japanese? In Japan.
Yeah. Yeah. Origin.
In Japanese.
And that is... Yeah, and that's where the lady comes in, right?
Yeah, actually. That's crazy.
South Korea.
That's not Japan.
I know, but it's South Korea. So let's look at why those numbers are specific. I was just saying South Korea is where it originated from.
Oh, I thought you were like agreeing with me because I said like in Japan, like four means death.
Yeah, no, I was just saying like because like I said, these are very specific numbers. So maybe
you said South Korea. Yeah. And I said, wait, that's not Japan.
Oh, interesting. So it has the elevator. Yeah, you have to have at least 10 floors, right? But then when you're on the first floor, it has to say one. It can't say like G, like for ground floor, because if it does, then it doesn't work well.
Right. Okay.
So it has, you have to be going to every single numbered floor that it tells you to.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not seeing why. Oh, hold on. Numbered floors.
I said that.
For elevator game. Reason. Nope. Why? Okay, so I can't find. So one, the elevator game originated in South Korea. What I was looking for, and I couldn't find it for all of 5 minutes. Why the specified numbers are specified, like why you have to go to the fourth floor, then the second floor, then the sixth floor, then back to the second floor, then to the 10th floor. I don't know why those are the numbers they picked out. So if anybody does know, tell us, let us know. Let's add it into our let's add it into our reservoir of knowledge on random things that nobody's ever going to ask us about. So I thought like maybe there was a connection. Maybe there is, and we just don't know. But, oh shit, the baby's awake.
All right, so we have a little intruder coming in. I don't know what this means for the rest of the episode.
Thank you.
Hi. No, don't press it.
Can I sit with you?
Yeah.
We got a little intruder.
All right. Well, I think that's going to be it for Elisa Lam. Somehow we gained an extra host. I hope this is not going against any sort of child labor laws or anything like that. Do you have anything that you want to add?
Okay.
Cool. What do you got for us?
Yeah.
I'll help you out.
Are you going to help? Do you want to do one segment? Yeah? You want to do a segment? Okay. So, as always, we have our creep pick of the week. And this week's creep pick, we are diving into the heart-pounding terror of P2.
Hi.
It's okay. What do you want to talk about? What do you have to say? What do you have to say to the people? Would you like to say something? Yeah, what do you want to say? Hi.
Mama.
And she's off. So let's get to our creep pick. This week we are diving into the heart-pounding terror of P2. Picture this, it's Christmas Eve and Angela, a workaholic executive, finds herself trapped in a parking garage after her car refuses to start. Thanks, baby creep. We are diving into the heart-pounding terror of P2. Picture this, it's Christmas Eve, and Angela, our workaholic executive, finds herself trapped in a parking garage after her car refuses to start. But here's where the nightmare truly begins. Enter Thomas, the seemingly helpful garage attendant who offers his assistance only to later reveal his sinister intentions. Before she knows it, Angela wakes up chained to a chair in Thomas's office. She's dressed in different clothes and is facing a horrifying reality. With everyone else gone for the holidays, Angela is left to fend for herself against this deranged psychopath. It's a desperate fight for survival as she navigates the labyrinth corridors of the parking garage, with Thomas lurking around every corner. The tension is palpable, the atmosphere suffocating, as Angela races against time to outwit her captor and escape before it's too late. Their cat and mouse game will leave you breathless until the very end. So, if you're in the mood for a holiday horror in March, April, whenever, that will leave you checking your rear view mirror, look no further than P2. Just be sure to keep an eye on the shadows, be just a little wary of strangers. You never know who might be lurking in the corners of the darkness. So P2.
P2 is crazy because I don't even remember watching it. I don't remember this movie at all.
You don't remember this at all?
No.
I think there's another movie in that same series, but it's a crazy movie. It's not like supernatural or anything. It's just
right.
It's just people being evil.
Yeah. And I think that, like, a lot of the times, like, those movies are, like, the kind of movies that, like, get my heart racing the most.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, supernatural stuff is scary, but I don't know. Something about, like, real life things that, like, could happen to me at any point, like, freak me out way more.
It's such a good movie, though.
Let's watch it again.
Yeah, we should watch it again just because, well, when you said elevator, I was thinking of, like, a lot of other movies I could go with, but then I was like, let's go with, like, P2.
Because
mm-hmm.
If you can hear Baby Creep, apologies.
She's just living her lavish life on the ground.
We're recording this on Easter, so we're trying to, like, figure out this. The whole schedule is all messed up. So she's here today.
She's here and she's awake.
But yeah. Movie sounds crazy. We should watch it tonight. Okay, you don't want to watch it?
Baby Creep said, oh no.
So unfortunately, that's probably why this episode's probably going to be a short one. With that said, what do we have next?
This week, our cryptid of the week is none other than the Wendigo.
I'm changing. I love the Wendigo.
Today, we're venturing into the frigid forests of Canada and the northern states to uncover the terrifying legend of the Wendigo. Picture this, a cannibalistic spirit resembling a zombie in some accounts, prowling the wilderness with a hunger for human flesh. Known by various names like the Wendigo, Weetigo, the Weetigo, the Wendigo is steeped in Algonquian mythology and folklore. Described as a creature ranging from the size of a human to a towering 15 feet tall, the Wendigo's appearance is as varied as the tales surrounding it. Some accounts depict it as a corpse-like being with sunken eyes, yellow fangs, and a long, slimy tongue, while others liken it to a lipless ape with giant claws and fangs. One ethnohistorian, Nathan Carlson, sheds light on sightings, describing the Wendigo as a creature with owl-like eyes, large claws, and an emaciated body. Locals who've encountered this beast often compare it to Bigfoot, though its demeanor leans more towards that of a werewolf. But take note, the Wendigo is no mere creature of myth. It's a harbinger of death and despair. Algonquian tribes believed that those who resorted to cannibalism risked becoming Wendigos themselves, consumed by an insatiable hunger for human flesh. The Wendigo myth serves as a deterrent against cannibalism, reminding people of the dire consequences of such a taboo act. Yet, throughout history, there have been reported cases of individuals claiming to be possessed by the Wendigo spirit, committing unspeakable acts of violence and cannibalism. One such infamous case is that of Swift Runner, a Native American who murdered and ate his entire family in the winter of 1879, claiming to be under the influence of the Wendigo. So, as you wander the lonely places of the world, keep a wary eye out for the Wendigo, lurking in the shadows, waiting to prey on the unsuspecting. And remember, heed the warnings of the ancients, for to become a Wendigo is to embrace a fate worse than death itself.
Yeah, like I said, I'm changing. I love the Wendigo.
Yeah.
I think it's a cool little dude.
Cool little dude.
Also, like, that was like one of the first things that Sam and Dean hunted.
It was the first things that Sam and Dean hunted.
Yeah.
What a good
show.
So,
I mean, like, kind of has like some sort of
nostalgia.
Sentimental. Yeah.
Is that what you think? That's what you think about the Wendigo?
Baby Creep does not like the Wendigo. You like Oscar, huh?
Yeah. Oscar's our dude, huh?
I guess she means to say we're done talking about the Wendigo.
Hi.
Hi.
Mata.
Baka.
Mata.
Yes, babe. Mata. Yes, babe.
Okay. So, I love the Wendigo. The Wendigo is a crazy, crazy creature. And what else is a crazy creature? This baby creep right here.
Baby creep is the cryptid of the week. What? Careful, she spits venom.
Yeah. She got talons. She has cursed speech.
Yeah.
So, that's our cryptid of the week. Hello? I need that.
Unfortunately, that is going to be all for us. We have to cut it short today. It's Easter. We're going to go spend time with the family. But we will catch you guys on the next one. You can find us over at Got Creeps on Instagram, Facebook, and X. You can find my personal socials over at John_Raimundo on Instagram and X, and just my name on Facebook.
You can find me at Leilani May Raimundo on Instagram, and for right now, however much longer that is, Leilani Gilberte on Facebook until I change it to Leilani Raimundo, because your girl finally got her name changed. It's almost been a year. So,
a while.
Yeah. Almost been a whole year since we got married, but Leilani Gilberte on Facebook until further notice. But thank you again for listening to the 10th episode of Got Creeps. Don't forget to like the video, like the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share with your friends so that we can reach more people who love the weird, mysterious, and creepy. We'll be back next week with your weekly dose of the creeps.
Bye-bye.
Bye.